Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Who takes care of us when we get older? How do we pay for it? How do we deal with caregivers? How do we help caregivers? How do we pick the right level of care? How do we decide when mom or dad needs care, or my spouse or my grammy or grampy or whoever it is? How do we do all of that? How do we make sense of it all? Where do we get answers? What about veterans benefits? Where do we get answers? More fraud in the VA program than anywhere right now that I can think of. Be careful who you're getting advice from, by the way, folks, if you're looking for VA benefits, because there are a bunch of phony nonprofits out there, and there are a bunch of insurance agencies disguised as nonprofits and all kinds of stuff. So there's just a lot of stuff. In fact, today is going to be kind of Outrage Sunday, and I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the, I troll the news. I have Google words pop up. I have Google alerts. I have all kinds of stuff for things on Medi-Cal and VA benefits and long-term care and nursing homes and phony baloney stuff and the cabal of people that have a vested interest in the long-term care industry, from attorneys to facilities to all kinds of places, and making sure you stay ignorant, including the state of California, which wants you to be ignorant. We'll talk about that in a minute. So, we're going to talk about lots of things today, and all of them have to do with taking care of ourselves or a loved one and making wise decisions as we get older. Good morning. My name is Bob Scrivano, your host here for 18 years. I'm purposefully subdued this morning because otherwise I would get angry because I just had to deal with the worst cable company on the planet Earth, who says I didn't return my equipment when I, those of you probably figured out who I'm talking about, but I'm not going to name names, and they're impossible to deal with. So even though I've had to deal with a cable company whose service I have canceled, I'm going to try to stay calm as I go through this other stuff today. And those of you that have had to deal with cable companies probably know who I'm talking about. But I can't name names because that's not okay, and it's just my opinion only. So anyhow, glad to have you with us. I don't know why anybody deals with them. The reality is you can't deal with them because, they're like Lily Tomlin. Remember when Lily Tomlin used to say, "We're the phone company, we don't have to care"? My name is Bob Scrivano, your host here for 18 years on KFBK and Assets and Aging, the longest running show of its kind in California, maybe in the country, on senior issues. Been doing this every Sunday for 18 years. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one that knows what the heck they're talking about. And by the way, there are a lot that don't know what they're talking about. There are actually attorneys in the area who will tell you have to get a divorce. There are attorneys who will tell you have to spend down. There are people who will tell you have to only have a half a loaf. We're going to do the half a loaf to get help in a nursing home or with long-term care. There's all kinds of stuff floating around out there, folks. So everything we talk about here is my opinion only. I have a California insurance license. I've had one for 40 years, but I have to tell you that because I have one. And otherwise, somebody will get mad at me. I have a California insurance license. I have a legal document assistant, a license registered in Sacramento County, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your request. I'm a notary. I'm not securities licensed. I don't want to be, because then I can tell you the truth. I don't have to look at you and lie. What else? I don't know. There's probably other stuff I am and am not, and everything we talk about here is my opinion only. For more information, go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Again, assets, A-S-S, E-T-S, and A-N-D, assets and aging, AGING.com, assetsandaging.com. You can sign up for my website, for my workshops there. You can send me an email. You can listen to my podcasts and past radio shows. On that website, every Wednesday at noon, I do a live podcast on a different subject. You can listen to the archived ones right there on my webpage, on my homepage. You can ask me, like I said, you can ask me a question. You can send me an email. You can set up an appointment to see me. And, of course, my phone number is there. And you can always reach me at my 800 number. People say, well, Bob, you're local. Why do you have an 800 number? You're Sacramento. Well, because I have clients out of the area, and they don't like paying for a long-distance call. And believe it or not, not everybody has a cell phone. So I've had the same 800 number for 25 years. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. That will get you my office in Sacramento. And again, you can sign up for upcoming workshops or appointments, or send me a question, or listen to my archived podcasts and radio shows, or listen to my live podcast every Wednesday at noon. Okay. What else? Is there anything else I need to say? Okay. You know, this is kind of, in the first half, I just want to talk about some stuff, folks, that I just find annoying about long-term care and Medi-Cal and the government and all that kind of stuff. I don't even know where to begin. Some of the stuff that I get every week, let's start with some legislative bills. Here's a legislative bill. Now, remember, healthcare is supposed to be to help people. Medi-Cal is a healthcare program. In fact, I have an article here. I'm looking at an article by a former Big Cal Medi-Cal bigwig who says Medi-Cal is not a welfare. I'm going to read it. And it is not, this is the third sentence of his article, and it is not a welfare program, which it's not, by the way, but it really is. But here's a bill being promulgated in the state legislature. Now, we have no money. I don't care what the you read in the paper, folks. There's no money in California. People are leaving here. Revenues are down. Jobs are hard to find. Companies are leaving. There's no extra money here. But what we now have is a bill in the legislature, in the California legislature. Here's a bill in the California legislature, AB 2394. That passed the assembly 73-0. We have no money. We recover against the estates of dead seniors and the disabled to the tune of $1 billion to $1.5 billion. We sue them. We sue their estates. We sue their trusts. We sue their kids because we can't, you know, we got to get the money back that we pay for while they were in a nursing home after they paid taxes for 60 years. But now here's a new bill. We don't have any money. But here's a bill that would pay non-emergency medical transportation, and Medi-Cal would pay for it for all those people on Medi-Cal. So if you need to take a taxi or transportation to go to the doctor, Medi-Cal will pay for it. You can't get on the bus. We're going to provide transportation. Okay, now I don't know if they're going to pay Uber or Lyft or any of those, but AB 2394 will pay for non-emergency medical transportation. It will now become a Medi-Cal benefit and includes round-trip transportation for members to obtain covered Medi-Cal services. Now, if you're low-income Medicare and you need to go to the doctor, you have to get there on your own. But now in California, if this all passes the Senate and is signed into law, which it will be, okay, if you're on Medi-Cal, the state's going to pick up the tab for your transportation. Why not? We've got lots of money. We can just sue more old people or the estates of dead old people to recover from their estates after they're dead. Title 22, California Code of Regulations, Section 50961, the state shall claim against the estate of the decedent or any recipient of the decedent's property by distribution or survival. That includes the heirs, if you're on Medi-Cal. But now, let's just pay for their transportation. Families, I'm reading from this article. It just makes me angry on a level you can't understand, folks, because I deal all day long with old people who get the shaft on this stuff. Families who live, by the way, this would apply to legal residents and non-legal residents. Families who live in rural areas spend several hours on a one-way trip to see their healthcare provider, said the assemblyman, who I'm not going to name. AB 2394 would ensure low-income beneficiaries have access to medical care by allowing Medi-Cal recipients to be reimbursed for transportation to and from a doctor. You need to understand that Covered California put 3 million people on Medi-Cal last year as part of the Affordable Care Act under Covered California. And this year they're going to add another 1 million to 2 million. So now in addition to us to paying for medical care, we're going to pay for the transportation to and from that non-emergency, not the ambulance. By the way, those of you that are on Medicare know that Medicare doesn't cover an ambulance. You wind up paying for the ambulance. But now we're going to cover non-emergency transportation for 13 million people. 30% of the population of California who's on Medi-Cal. Now, what do you think that's going to cost? I don't know. You tell me. What's that going to cost? If 1 million of them, of the 13 million people, use this three times a year, what do you think that costs? But in the meantime, we're going to sue the estates of dead old people. Are you getting my connection here? And by the way, this goes on and on and on and on. This other article I was reading from this past director of Medi-Cal says that actually we love the Medi-Cal program because it's provided jobs. It's provided hundreds of thousands of jobs. I don't know what to say. Medi-Cal's cost per enrollee in 2011, which, by the way, was 5 years ago, was the 28th lowest in the nation. How about what it is today? I can't even begin to tell you. 15% of the state budget, folks. 15%. Of the entire state general fund budget goes to pay for Medi-Cal. 15%. And the only people that there's recovery against are dead old people, dead seniors, dead disabled, who are 55 years or older, or anyone who's ever been in a nursing home, regardless of age. But now we can get transportation. Why not? Okay, here's another one. This is from, what is this from? The Oakdale newspaper. The Oakdale Shelter Pet Alliance is now having a spay and neuter clinic. And in order to get a special, okay, you can afford a pet. If you have a pet, you should be able to afford the pet, right? The food and the care. Otherwise, why would you have a pet if you can't afford it? But now if you have a Medi-Cal card, the Oakdale Shelter Pet Alliance gives you, if you present your EBT card or Medi-Cal card, called a BIC card, then you can get, I can't believe this if I hadn't read it, you get a voucher for low-income pet neutering if you're on Medi-Cal. I couldn't make this up if I tried. I mean, I couldn't make it up if I tried. I don't even know where to begin. I couldn't make it up if I tried. And I can go on and on and on and on and on ad nauseum. Okay. I can't even tell you. Medi-Cal just junked their $179 million computer modernization because it doesn't work. It's only $179 million, folks. In California's case, the junking of a $179 million computer modernization project to process claims for Medi-Cal, the state's healthcare program for low-income patients. That's only $179 million. But that's okay. We can sue more old people when they die or their families who are on Medi-Cal. All of these 13 million people who are on Medi-Cal in California have no idea that they are all at some point going to be subject to Medi-Cal estate recovery. Some of them potentially are subject to recovery, and they may never actually use Medi-Cal for healthcare benefits. I mean, okay, calm down, Bob. Relax. Take a deep breath. And yet, there is an entire industry out there that profits from you not knowing that this stuff exists, from not knowing that you can protect what you have, from not knowing what's going on and where money's being spent. So, okay, we're now going to give 13 million people free trips to the doctor if they're on Medi-Cal. Again, if you're on Medicare or you're working for a living, paying for Blue Cross, you don't get your transportation paid for. We've just found out from a former bigwig at Medi-Cal that it's really not a welfare program, and the spending is not out of control. And to prove that, he uses statistics from 2011. Okay? According to the article, it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. But it makes up 15% of the entire state budget, more than roads, more than jobs, okay? More even than assemblymen and state senators make. And then we find out the state of California just junked a $179 million computer program because they couldn't make it work. The department declined to comment beyond the press release. The settlement requires the Department of Healthcare Services and Xerox both approve in advance any public statements for the next 30 days. What happened to the Open Records Act? I thought this was all supposed to be transparent. It's only $179 million. We're just going to give free transportation. Medi-Cal's not a welfare program. It's a jobs engine, according to this other article from May 24th. It's the best thing, and it is for a lot of people, folks. But let's not pretend that, like most government agencies, they waste huge, staggering amounts of money. Let me switch to my next topic of the day, and then in the second half hour, I want to talk about something really important. For right now, I'm just venting because I had to deal with a cable company today, and you all know what that's like, okay? And of course, they didn't satisfy me or give me any answers. They basically I'm tranquilo, Bob. Tranquilo. Let's pretend we're all in Florence having good Italian food and life is good. So now let me take you to the next outrage, which is VA. This is from an article in the Military Times by Patricia Keim. I think it's Keim. K-I-M-E. From June 2nd, 2016, in the Military Times. In 1958, Frank Farmer was a young sailor on the USS Hooper Island, one of many deckhands who took part in an operation so secret they couldn't talk about it for almost 40 years. Afloat in the Pacific, and some of you listening to me know about this, afloat in the Pacific, the ship participated in Operation Hardtack, a series of 35 nuclear, above-ground nuclear tests conducted in the throes of the Cold War arms race with the Soviet Union. Farmer personally witnessed 18 of the explosions above ground. They used to line these guys up, folks, as guinea pigs. You feel the heat blast from it. Now, if you're feeling the heat blast from 18 atomic explosions, what else are you getting? 18 doses of high-level radiation. You feel the heat blast from it, and it's so bright you actually can see your bones in your hands, Farmer said in a new documentary highlighting the service of thousands of U.S. troops who participated in nuclear weapons testing from 46 to 68. The Atomic Vets installment of Retro Report, released on Memorial Day weekend, blah, 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 blah. So go see if you can find that. It's also in the New York Times. Reveal reporter Jennifer LaFleur said the journalist decided to tackle the year-long project to spotlight a forgotten group of veterans and call attention to their ongoing fight for recognition as well as disability compensation from the Department of Veterans Affairs. There actually is a fund available to vets and some civilians who were victims of radiation disease from above ground nuclear blast. It's a little known subject. VA has designated, the VA has deemed a number of cancers as presumed to be related to radiation exposure, meaning that a veteran who develops a recognized disease doesn't need to prove a connection between his or her illness and their military service. VA has designated several other diseases as associated with radiation exposure, but the veteran must provide proof of exposure. Yeah, I was stood up and they lit the candle. How do you provide proof? See, do you understand? This is another one of those things that drives me crazy. The VA is the worst at it. Medi-Cal is second. We get to say we have a program, but you can't qualify for it because you don't have proof. For instance, there are a lot of Agent Orange diseases, and if you were in Vietnam, you're eligible. And guys will say, well, I was never in Vietnam. I was in Thailand. Oh, yeah, did you go through Saigon on your way to wherever it was on your way to? Yeah, but it wasn't in my orders. But you got off the airplane in Vietnam. Yeah, then you were in Vietnam and you're eligible for Agent Orange. But how do I prove I was there? My orders don't say it. So you can't prove you're in Vietnam. They refueled in Vietnam. But I can't prove that I was there. So we have a benefit that you can't qualify for. Well, this is the same thing. You have to prove you were there. Well, how do I prove I was there? How do I prove I was exposed? I watched 18 atomic bombs go off. I felt the heat blast. Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean you were exposed to the radiation. Also, following the bombings on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Japan, that ended World War II, the United States embarked on a nuclear testing program that began at a Bikini Atoll. Not only that, the vets who wandered around Nagasaki and Hiroshima are also eligible for radiation sickness awards. The number of people, of vets exposed to above-ground radiation, listen to this, could have been as high as 400,000 vets. They have never received any compensation or ribbons related to their service because it was a secret. And many have had to fight for healthcare benefits to treat illnesses they believe are related to ionizing radiation exposure. VA has designated blah, 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 blah. One of my buddies just recently came down with lung cancer, Harrison said. There were a number of guys, though, that are sick with different kinds of cancer, skin rashes, and they all are being denied the VA. How long have you heard now that too many x-rays, regular x-rays, will create cancer? You know, there's a real concern about the cumulative effect of radiation. Well, if you watched 18 above-ground nuclear tests, if you were exposed, remember, we lit off, how many of the articles say in the beginning? 35 above-ground nuclear tests, a lot of them in Nevada. And as many as 400 vets may be eligible for service-connected disability or claims because of that. And when did you ever hear about it? Finally, a documentary has been done, and there actually is a fund available for that. And there are benefits available to vets for above-ground radiation. You need to understand it. You need to understand that a lot of these government agencies like Medi-Cal and Medicaid and the VA want to be able to say they have programs like service-connected disability, but they really don't want anybody to be able to get it because it costs money. And the VA is so messed up, you know, administratively right now that the last thing they want is another claim. And don't look to any congressman to care because there's no local congressman that cares, not a one. I've been to them and they don't care. There's not one of them that has helped out one vet that I've sent to them for help. The point is, you have to become educated. You have to begin to understand this. You have to plan. You have to know what's going on because the only advocate you're going to have is you. So if you're getting older, If long-term care is an issue to you, veterans benefits are an issue to you, you need to become informed and you need to do it now. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Listen to this radio show. Listen to my podcast. Get to the website and ask me questions. Get information. Find out. Make sure your family finds out because your wife and children may be eligible for these benefits. I cannot tell you how important it is. In some cases, even brothers and sisters. It's important that you understand how these programs work and what the end result is. 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. We're going to come back in a couple minutes, and then I want to talk to you about age and care and the strains of a caregiver. We'll be back in just a few minutes here on Assets and Aging. Don't go away. We'll be right back. More to talk about. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show. I've had a deep breath, taking a deep breath here during the break. Tranquilo. After our first half hour. Welcome to Assets and Aging. Remember, I'm Bob Scrivano, your host here. Remember, I'm not an attorney. Don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. Everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal or tax advice. I have to say all that or somebody gets mad. So right now, the first half hour, I talked about kind of my outrages of the week. And by the way, I could spend every radio show every week talking about this stuff. You can't believe what crosses my desk, folks. And some of it I can't talk about. But I wish I could. I want to talk about an article that was in the Wall Street Journal the other day. Again, you can reach me by going to my website, assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, A-G-I-N-G, .com. Assetsandaging.com. You can go there, sign up for a workshop, listen to my radio shows, my archived radio shows or podcasts. You can get information there. You can send me an email. You can sign up for an upcoming workshop. I have workshops always. You can sign up for a workshop. You can get more information. Or again, you can always call me at my office, 800-999-8007. Okay, the only newspaper in America that really covers aging issues is the Wall Street Journal. So this is from an article in the Wall Street Journal, June 4th, 5th, last weekend. It was the Saturday-Sunday version of the Wall Street Journal. It was on page A3. One of the reasons I subscribe to the Journal is it's like the last real newspaper around. And it's one of the only newspapers I know of that covers senior issues. You know, to most media outlets, senior issues are when a 90-year-old skydives. That's not a senior issue, folks. There are lots of active 80 and 90-year-olds. But 27-year-old reporters don't know that. So when they see a 90-year-old skydiving, they think that's real big news. The first President Bush went skydiving when he was like 90 years old or something like that. It's not new. So it's the only paper that really covers senior issues. It's the only one that has on a regular basis stuff dealing with senior issues, and this is one of them. And I had this at my last workshop last weekend, and we talked about this. And the title of the article, and I suggest you look it up. And with my notes, you should always listen to this show with a pencil and paper. But here's the name of the article is Age Imbalance Strains Care. Age Imbalance Strains Care. And again, it's from the June 4th, 5th issue of the Wall Street Journal. It was on page A3. And that subtitle under the headline is, As Elderly Grow in Number, More Call for Ways to Ease Pressure on Family Members. Anybody that's been listening to this show for any length of time, anybody that's been listening to this show for any length of time understands that I've been talking about caregivers for 18 years that I've been on this radio show. And they're really the forgotten people here, are caregivers. And in one third of the cases, for instance, the well spouse dies first, usually from the stress of taking care of the ill spouse. But I want to read some stuff from this article, and I want to read between the lines. Because again, reporters only see what's on the surface because they're not experienced in any of this stuff. I'll guarantee you, whoever wrote this is just a staff writer. It's a good article. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad it's in here. But they are not going to have enough information or experience to ask questions in between the lines. And that's what I'm going to do here as I read this article. This is from Bideford or Bideford, Maine. Velma Jean DeFries, 87 years old, wrestles day and night with Alzheimer's. Okay, on the face of it, you go, yeah, well, what's wrong with that, Bob? Velma Jean doesn't wrestle with Alzheimer's. She has Alzheimer's. Who wrestles with the Alzheimer's? Let's see if any of you know the answer to the question. Again, I'll read it to you again. Velma Jean DeFries, 87 years old, wrestles day and night with Alzheimer's. She doesn't wrestle with it. Who wrestles with it? Come on. Yes. Her family. Her children wrestle with it, as we'll see in a minute. She's not wrestling with it. Her family has. And it's not something that just happened. The odds are they've been wrestling with this for a long time. The average time between onset of Alzheimer's and diagnosis is 6 to 8 years. I read on from the article. Stan, her son, and her full-time caregiver struggles with her illness too. Formerly a nurse, Ms. DeFries now can't be alone. She doesn't even know she has Alzheimer's, folks. She can't pick out her clothes, cook for herself, or recall that her husband died in 2012. The petite widow relies on her son and daughter-in-law, with whom she lives, for everything. Now, how many of you listening know this story? And if you know this story, what are you waiting for to begin to deal with it? I read on from the article, and I want you to listen to this, and I'm going to say it probably about 10 times in a row. It's hard. It's hard. I repeat, he says, it's hard. It's hard, said Mr. DeFries. That's the daughter, a 52-year-old engineer and jewelry store owner. This is not a stupid, uncaring man, folks, who has just guided his mother into a new adult daycare center in southern Maine near where they live so he could grab a respite. People don't know what they're getting themselves into. Now, I want to digress here for a minute. They're getting her into a new adult daycare center. Remember I told you Medi-Cal just spent $179 million on a computer system that failed. They spend untold hundreds of millions of dollars on administrative waste. They're now going to pay for private transportation to take people to the doctor. Okay? There is a program called PACE, the Program of All-Inclusive Care of the Elderly, which is a Medi-Cal program that provides adult daycare by Medi-Cal. It's only in, what now, 5 or 6 counties? Because Medi-Cal doesn't have the money to pay for it. So Medi-Cal doesn't have the money. The state legislator is going to provide free round-trip transportation for people on Medi-Cal to go to the doctor. They blew a $179 million computer program, but they don't have the money to expand PACE or the waiver program, which helps pay for assisted living. This lady is in daycare, not for herself, folks. I'll read it to you again. They have just guided his mother into a new adult daycare center in southern Maine where they live so he could grab a respite. adult daycare is not for the person with dementia. It's for the caregiver so they can rest, so they can eat, so they can take a nap, so they don't have a stroke. We have that program on a very limited basis in California, but we can't seem to find the money for it. Politicians have money to spend on whether or not we have condoms in the porn industry. There was a bill in that last year. They've spent a lot of time. But we don't have an $179 million blown computer system. But we don't have any money to help expand respite care in California. It's only in 5 or 6 counties. Sacramento County, by the way, happens to be one of them. But you have to qualify for it, and you have to be low income, basically, and it's respite care. It's not 24-hour daycare. It's adult daycare. When we start to allocate assets, let's please start to ask ourselves, would there have been a better use for $169 million in flush-down-the-toilet money than on spending years trying to build a computer program that doesn't work? Xerox made a lot of money, but people who needed adult daycare money, there's no money in the Medi-Cal budget for that. But we now have enough money in the Medi-Cal budget to provide non-medical transportation for people to go to the doctor who are 30 years old. I need to take another deep breath. I'm going to keep reading from the article. I want to read again from the last paragraph. People don't know what they're getting themselves into. Strain on family caregivers, I'm reading, is alarming many lawmakers. No, it's not. There's no lawmakers that care about this. There aren't. I know. I've been in the Capitol. I've tried to talk to them. I've been there with other people who've tried to talk to them. They don't care. You'd be stunned at who has access to legislators in the Capitol. You would be stunned if I told you. But it's not, anyhow, shut your mouth, Bob. Strain on family caregivers is alarming many lawmakers and social service providers who are hearing more stories like Mr. DeFreeze. I've been saying them for the 18 years I've been on this radio and nobody cares. Nobody cares. I've been to congressmen. I've been to state legislators. Nobody cares. What they care about is if you have money to write them a check, then they'll listen to you. If you don't, they're not interested. They are pushing for new ways to help the vast unpaid workforce of people who are crucial in part because they allow more seniors to age in place and reduce reliance on public subsidies such as Medicaid, a major funder of institutional health care for older Americans. But when you start to talk to them about paying for lower cost levels of care to keep people out of nursing homes like adult daycare or the waiver program, they have no time to talk to you about that. Families have always been the backbone of our system. I'm reading from the article, for caring for people, said Kathy Greenlee, the Assistant Secretary for Aging at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Really, if we didn't have them, we couldn't afford as a country to monetize their care, and we couldn't replace, frankly, the love they provide to family members. No, but we could make a difference in the life of caregivers, but we choose not to. We'd rather give it to other places and other people. We'd rather have a bullet train to nowhere than take care of people and caregivers who need help. Listen to this. About 40 million U.S. 40 million. 40 million. That's more than 10% of the population of the United States. 40 million U.S. family caregivers provided unpaid care valued at $470 billion to an adult with limitations in daily activities for 2013, according to AARP. And that statistic is 3 years old. And I'm telling you now it's even more. And that doesn't count the number of people who take care of disabled children at home and lose their jobs and quit because there's no care for disabled children at home, so one of the parents has to quit work and they become the unpaid caregiver. We're not even going there. We're just talking about adults right now. In Maine, the state with the oldest median age in the U.S., 44.2 years, the pressure on families is palpable. This article is in, it's a family in Maine. The percentage of the state's population that is 65 and over is climbing and tops 18%, compared with nearly 15% for the U.S. as a whole. 15% of the population of the United States is over 65. 15% of the population of the... Now, is that number going to grow or shrink? It's going to grow because more and more baby boomers every day turn 65. More and more people are going to turn 75. More and more people are going to turn 85. Half of all people over 85 has some form of dementia. Is this problem going to get better or worse? And when are we going to pay attention to it? When are you as a family going to pay attention to it? I appreciate that you're listening to this show. I appreciate that you appreciate the information because people tell me that all the time. And what I meet them with is the question of, then what are you doing about it? Adults for years, parents for years have saying, I don't want to be a burden on my children. The question I always ask them is, so what are you doing to lighten that burden on your family? What's your plan? What are you going to do to make this burden better? How are you going to make sure that you can access the benefits that you have coming for you, How are you going to make sure that the family home is protected and the family assets are protected and all of that kind of stuff? How are you going to do all of that? The struggle isn't new, but I'm reading from the article. The struggle isn't new, but demographics make it even a greater concern going into the future, said Howard Degenholtz, a University of Pittsburgh associate professor of health policy and management who studies family caregivers. The massive baby boom generation is barreling into old age with a smaller generation behind it. Baby boomers had fewer children, so the normal caregivers, which would be children, are smaller than the cohort baby boomers that they're pushing ahead of them. Do you understand? So we're going to have a larger, older generation with fewer natural caregivers called children. When I was growing up, it was not unusual to see families of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 kids. That's very rare today. That's extremely rare today. People of my parents' generation, it was not unusual for them to have 5, 6, 7, 8 kids. It wasn't unusual. My grandma had 7. My mother-in-law had 8 or 9. I forget which. My mom and dad had 4. And we can keep going on. Most families don't do that anymore. So we have an older cohort, an older generation, with the people that would be their normal caregivers in a shrinking, in less population, that is their children. People my children's age, 30, 40-year-olds, 20, 30, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds. The massive baby... So my question is... let me read one more thing here. For some family caregivers, the burden grows too heavy. In the activity room of the Cohen Center recently, members enjoyed banana pudding and a sing-along of You Are My Sunshine and bid goodbye to 86-year-old Ralph Bouvier, a one-time bridge builder who has dementia. His wife and caregiver, Marie, who is 83, had hit her limit, and the couple would be moving in with a son in New Hampshire. Sometimes he thinks she is his mother. It hurts her to hear him rant or accuse her of stealing his watch or teeth. She reminds herself it's the disease talking, not her husband. She lives for fleeting glimpses of the man she married. At every checkup, when the doctor asks Mr. Bouvier to write one sentence, he pens, "I love my wife." A ruggedly handsome man with a tidy buzz cut, Mr. Bouvier donned pressed jeans and plaid shirt, and as a tradition, were a pen and two cigars in his left shirt pocket. "You're looking good, Ralph," a staff member said. "I take good care of him," Mrs. Bouvier said, as they left to move in with their son. It's not a new subject, and I'm going to keep pounding it home until listeners and people and politicians begin to take it seriously. I'm not trying to diminish the importance of transportation, but we're going to spend $90 billion on a train that won't benefit any of us for 25 years. If we spent 1% of that, 2% of that, 3% of that on taking care of the frail elderly, in making sure that caregivers, children, or spouses were provided the respite care that they need. You know, my parents' generation, the generation that's getting older, I'm 70. They did what they were told to do. They went and served their country. They came home. They kept their mouths shut. They didn't ask for much. They got a job. They educated their children. They bought a house. They saved a little money. But nobody told them they were going to live to be 85 years old or 90 years old. Nobody told them that they were going to become frail and aging and elderly and ill. Nobody told them that life expectancy was going to move from 55 or 50 at the turn of the last century to 85 where it is today. And now people are being punished because money is going other places and we are not paying, and the legislator and legislators are not paying attention to any of this. They are oblivious to what's going on. And I know that for a fact because I've talked to them, folks. I know what's being paid attention to. I know who's being paid attention to. I understand all of that. At some point, if you're looking for somebody to pass a bill that's going to take care of this, don't hold your breath. You can't hold your breath that long. The end of the conversation here is you have to begin to understand that this is happening in your family. And you need to begin to take charge of it. You need to begin to make sense of it. You need to do all of those kinds of things. It's a really big deal. And it's not going to become a smaller deal. It's going to be a bigger deal. Because my parents' generation, the 90-year-olds, I'm 70. So my parents, who are both deceased now, but would have been in their 90s now, we're not talking about them anymore. That generation is dying off. We're talking about my generation, the people that are now in their late 60s and 70s that are going to become more and more and more frail. Remember the book I've been talking about for now constantly for the last 2 months, Being Mortal. B-E-I-N-G, mortal, being mortal. Go buy it and read it. There are two incurable diseases. We will never have the cure for them. They are aging and dying. We will never be able to cure those two diseases. And they're not going to get better. And we're going to have a cohort of people, the baby boomers, now becoming more and more frail and more need of care, with the population behind them, their children being smaller than ever before and less able to provide for their care financially and physically. So what's going to be the answer? I don't want to be a burden on my children, so what's your plan? The problem with most people's plan is that it's hope. They hope they're just going to die one night asleep at night at home. If hope is your plan, I have really bad news for you. You have a real choice to make here. You can begin to take charge of your life and your mom and dad's life and begin to make the hard, necessary decisions to answer the two great questions, who's going to take care of me and how am I going to pay for it, or you can continue to ignore it. You have a wonderful resource here. This is California's single best source, and has been for 25 years, on the real issues of aging. Not the make-believe ones, not the ones that make me comfortable, but the real issues of aging. You can begin the process today. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com, ASSETSANDAGING, assetsandaging.com. You can go there. You can sign up for my newsletter. You can sign up for a website, for a seminar, workshop. You can ask me a question. You can listen to my archived radio shows or podcast. You can listen to my live podcast every Wednesday at noon right there on that same webpage. Every Wednesday live at noon, I do a podcast covering one subject and one subject only, dealing with elder care and elder issues. Or you can call me at 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. But you have the choice whether to begin to make a difference today, to lighten the burden, to make things better, or to wait until it's a crisis and then hope everything works out. 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007, or assetsandaging.com. I want to thank you all for listening. I want to thank all the veterans who have served so well for this country, continue to serve, and I want to thank you all for listening to this show for 18 years. I hope it's helpful, and I can continue to do this for a long time. Look forward to seeing you here again next week. Assets and Aging, 800-999-8007. Have a good day.